If you're the parent of a sick child, and the only diagnosis you've been given by doctors is that your child has some type of rare genetic disorder, you'll do whatever you can. You'll search high and low for answers. Online searches of the symptoms, message boards, social media, all in an attempt to locate someone, anyone, who has experienced this sort of thing before and can give you guidance.
The more information you can get when you're living in the world of the unknown, you'll do anything. Do anything to get some piece of the puzzle that'll give you an answer.
Two UW Medicine researchers are leveraging the power of the internet, the village that is the internet, to try and identify the genes that are responsible for these rare diseases.
I think that's the hope for all of us, is that we get a gene and we go on the path to finding a cure for it.
This is the UW Medicine Pulse with Marty Reamer. Real-world stories of the discoveries being made at UW Medicine and the impact they're having on people here in the Pacific Northwest and around the world.
I love you, Mommy. I just want to feel better.
Gina Zanuck calls it her diagnostic odyssey.
It hurts.
Every day, all day, you know, my kids are in pain. I mean, pain is pretty much what rare and undiagnosed suffer. It's pain.
Her desperate struggle over the last 7 years to try and determine what was making her three children so sick.
We started out being interesting and we ended up being fascinating. And that's not something you brag about. It's not something you want to be for doctors.
The trouble began when her oldest, Ava, was three.
Ava was born healthy and when she was three, she had a bump on her head, sent us to a neurosurgeon, and she had a large arachnoid cyst. That was the first step that she wasn't perfect, you know, 100% healthy. And she started then to get red hands, red legs, red face, lethargic, heat, you know, bothered her, digestion issues. And that was another part of the diagnostic odyssey that, you know, took us off of worrying about her brain and now worrying about her overall health.
Gina and all three of her children, Ava, Oscar, and Lucy, all have symptoms, the root cause of which has so far simply been labeled by doctors as an undiagnosed genetic dysfunction.
Three children undiagnosed, myself undiagnosed. We are now in the world of genetics waiting to try and find an answer.
And the agony of that, of having sick kids and not knowing the cause or a treatment or a prognosis, is torture.
Let go.
What can I do?
A lot of families actually go through something that they call the diagnostic odyssey, which means, you know, like Odysseus, they've been wandering in the wilderness looking just for a name or a group of people who have the same condition, and they find a lot of value and comfort in just being able to compare their experiences with other families.
Jessica Chong, who's in the Department of Pediatrics at UW Medicine and works in the UW Center for Mendelian Genomics, says that many families with these rare genetic disorders turn to the internet and social media as an informal way to connect with others that find themselves in a similar boat, posting their stories and their symptoms to sites like Facebook.
Not just Facebook. There's been many families who've created patient support groups over the decades. And certainly that's gotten a lot easier to do with, you know, Facebook and with Yahoo groups and Google groups.
And as useful as that exchange of information on social media has been, that's not really what Facebook or Instagram or Twitter were made for. So Jessica Chong and Mike Bomshad, Chief of Genetic Medicine in the Department of Pediatrics at UW Medicine, together developed a new website called MyGene2.
We're trying to provide a place where people can put information so that anybody who wants to share their phenotypic information and the genetic test data or the raw genetic data can share that and can share that data publicly with other families, with researchers, with other clinicians.
The MyGene2 website is a registry for families with rare genetic conditions. Go to MyGene2.org and you can see a list of candidate genes and how many families with conditions that might be related to those candidate genes have already registered on the site. And if you're a family member, you can create an account and start uploading a profile, just like you'd create a profile on Facebook, but the information on MyGene2 is focused on this genetic condition.
You can share all the information that are ingredients for what is needed to make a gene discovery, and you can share it all in one place so that you or other families or clinicians or researchers can look at that information and try to make gene discoveries or try to make new diagnoses, for example. And in other cases, it would be also for people who want to, families who want to connect with someone else who has a similar set of symptoms.
The MyGene2 website, which is MyGene, M-Y-G-E-N-E, number 2.org, focuses on what are known as Mendelian conditions.
And what a Mendelian condition means is that a mutation in a single gene is necessary and often sufficient to cause a disease or a condition. So, you know, we know that there's a gene called CFTR, mutations in which can result in cystic fibrosis. Similarly, we know that changes in the beta globin gene can result in sickle cell disease. So there are approximately 8,000 of these Mendelian conditions that are known to exist. We've identified the genes for about half of those. So we know that there are at least 4,000 and probably many more Mendelian conditions for which the genes have yet to be discovered.
There's actually a spectrum of sort of human conditions. So there's these Mendelian ones where it's generally one gene that's mutated that causes the condition. And then you have things that are going to be hundreds or thousands of genes that are more complex, things like diabetes or asthma. And then there are, of course, conditions that are sort of in between along that spectrum of how many genes need to be mutated to cause that particular condition. And so these Mendelian ones are in some ways, not always, but some ways a little simpler, because once you find that particular gene, you can say, I know that it's this mutation in this gene that really causes that person's phenotype. Right.
So the overall goal is, you know, within 10 years is to be able to say that we've identified the gene underlying every Mendelian condition that exists.
Can you walk me through how you entered your family's information into the MyGene2 system?
I know that we started with our story, and then I know we put in our, I mean, we can put our videos up there, we can put our pictures up there, and then you put your health detailed information, and it pulls out the phenotyping wording for you, which I loved. I didn't have to go type in it all over again. And then once I signed their consent, I was able to upload our files, our exome sequencing data, and so it's very exciting.
Let's say if we had all these four or five different families from all over the world, they all created MyGene2 profiles, and in the case where they all had sequencing previously and they uploaded their genetic data, we looked at it and we said, oh, I think they have the same condition. We could download their data and look at the data and see if there's certain genes that where they all seem to have a variant or mutation in that same gene. And then we can sort of use other information that, you know, to say, oh, we think that that might actually be the gene that's mutated and causing their condition.
And it's really not just, I mean, Jessica says us,
yeah,
we're using an example,
yeah,
but really the site is public. You know, we're really trying to democratize the discovery process, right, so that anyone could do it. You know, we don't want to make it sound like we're the only ones in a privileged position to access this information. It's public.
In a roundabout way, that's the way researchers have been making these gene discoveries all along. Match patient symptoms, or what are known as their phenotypes, which can include
body measurements, your height, your weight, a picture of your face, measurements of the distance between your pupils, the number of teeth that you have, or it could be
description, you know, of the symptoms you have from your condition, so how it affects, you know, if it makes you really tired or if you have seizures, something like that.
That would be part of the phenotype.
So you take these patient or families with similar conditions and you try to identify genetic variations that they have in common. And then you're on your way to identifying the causal gene. The problem with that approach, according to Mike Baumschad, is that many of these Mendelian conditions are extremely rare.
So there might be, you know, half a dozen families in the world. So 10 years ago, how would we connect a family living in Australia, another one living in Russia, one living in India, one living in the U.S.? It was a challenge. Now, they might get reported in the literature by different clinicians, and somebody smart would say, oh, look, all these families have the same thing. I think it's a separate condition. I'm going to try to contact each of these researchers or clinicians and see if they can give me information about their family, and maybe I can get a blood sample and we'll try to find the gene. You know, that was a very labor-intensive process that often took years. And now we know that with social networking, those families can identify each other very quickly. Samples can be obtained from these families very quickly. We can do the sequencing here at the UW Center for Mendelian Genomics and potentially have a gene discovered in a matter of months.
In about how long?
In a matter of months.
Months.
In the ideal world.
for example, like one of my friends, their son was diagnosed with the gene NGLI1. And once you know what the gene is, then you can target it and find a cure, work with, you know, find something to treat it. And I think that's the hope for all of us, is that we get a gene and we go on the path to finding a cure for it. Right now, we just live in the unknown of how many years will their bodies be able to keep up with this? You know, I don't know that answer, especially when they go through puberty. Will they make it through puberty? I don't know. So I think everyone's just desperate to try and give us a gene.
And, you know, developing treatments actually can take place relatively quickly because there are all sorts of ways to screen small molecules now for their effects. There are a number of drugs that can be repurposed. So they're already FDA approved for one purpose, but we find that they work for another purpose based upon a gene discovery. So it can happen very rapidly. You know, in our minds, every family with a rare genetic condition that undergoes genetic testing should put their information into MyGeneToo. Because even for those families that in which there is a specific diagnosis, sharing that information can be really useful to other families, useful to clinicians, useful to other researchers. So, for example, if I see a child in clinic with a rare condition and I wonder who has an atypical feature, well, it could be really useful for me to go to MyGeneToo, search under that condition and say, wow, are there any other kids? I mean, I've seen maybe in my career 10 kids with this condition, but I get on MyGeneToo and now I've got access to phenotypic information from 500 kids with this condition. And I say, wow, there's a number of kids that have had this same problem. I wonder if there's anything common about, you know, the kids with this problem. And I wonder what sort of outcomes, because that provides me with a way to go back to the family and say, I've got some better prognosticating information for you. More importantly, the family that I'm working with, I can tell them to go to MyGeneToo, and they can look up all the families with this problem, and they can contact all the families with this problem and said, hey, my kid's got the same problem. Can you tell me about your experience? How did you care for your son?
Have you made breakthroughs in that regard? Are you exchanging information and seeing people that are further along and gleaning ideas from them?
So we're on that beginning stage with the genome, and we have a long way to go, but we're hoping to find a clue. You know, we have these 14 genes that no one's seen before. That is a clue, but what does it mean? You know, we don't know that yet.
Where is it hurting?
Right here.
On the forehead? Okay. I love you. You're my best friend.
For more information about the MyGeneToo website, visit mygene2.org. I want to thank Drs. Jessica Chong and Michael Baumschad for joining us, and a special thank you to Gina Zanuck for sharing her family story. If you'd like to subscribe to UW Medicine Pulse to receive every episode of this audio program delivered for free to your digital device as soon as they are released, you can again visit our website, uwmedicine.org/pulse. UW Medicine Pulse is produced by Tina Knoll, production assistance from Aaron Gervais. I'm Marty Reamer. Thanks for listening.